Thank you very much for that wonderful introduction. And good afternoon, everybody, and thank you very much for coming to this session. I listened to those two great presentations, and I hope I will live up to the expectations that you have set. Those of you who might not know about FHI 360 is a non-profit human development organization that is dedicated to improving lives in lasting ways. FHI 360 serves over 60 countries and all the states and territories in the United States. My presentation is about the use of mobile-based approaches for facilitating health data collection, sharing, analysis, and this presentation draws on the experiences that were gained in Uganda, a project called Uganda Health Information Network. It was implemented over a period of 7 years, 2003 to 2010, and it was implemented by AED, now FHI 360, a local NGO called Uganda Chartered HealthNet, the Ministry of Health of Uganda, and the College of Health Sciences of Makerere University, and it was funded by the Canadian International Development Research Center. So the project was designed to support health data collection, reporting, and health information dissemination, both clinical and public health information dissemination, through a two-way communication system using the existing cellular network and low-cost mobile devices. Initially, we began using PDS in 2003 up to probably 2005, 2006. But as you know, PDS became more and more obsolete. We transitioned into using mobile phones and smartphones, and we also started using netbooks as well. So the underlying problems that this initiative attempts to address are, number one, the inadequate distribution of data collection forms is a perennial problem. Those of you who work in international health, especially in developing countries, would know about that. They usually run out of the data collection forms. They eventually write the data sets in their notebooks, and it's forgotten before the next aggregation is met. And poor quality of data, which is introduced at different levels, illegibility of records on the paper forms, transcription errors when it's entered to the next level, aggregation errors when they are summing up data sets, is also a major problem. And this poor quality of data also have this domino effect, because at the health facility, some error is introduced, it goes up and up and up. And delay in reporting to the next level in Uganda, it's the district health office, from health facility to district health offices, and then the Ministry of Health. Again, this again have a domino effect. Delay from the health facility to the district. Again, the districts would be delayed in submitting their reports to the Ministry of Health. And important decisions that would have been made would not be made. Poor infrastructure is one of the causes. There is also high cost of delivery if they are using hand delivery of the forms. And the next one is not related to data, but in terms of information access, access to health information by health workers. They have limited access to clinical and public health information. There is a guideline, Uganda Clinical Guidelines, in paper form, and most of the health facilities do not have it to refer to. There are new treatment guidelines that come up every time, so they have limited access. So this is an area that the project addressed. And finally, feedback to the health workers. They rarely, or not at all, receive feedback from the district health office about the data sets that they have collected, severely impeding their ability to make decisions based on the data sets that they have gathered. So the key features of the electronic system that was developed by the project are this. as I noted, we use a PDS and netbooks and so on. So the forms were programmed onto the mobile devices, and the health workers at rural health facilities were trained how to use them so that they would capture the data sets on their mobile device, and transmission is done seamlessly to a central server in Kampala, as a capital city, which was installed at the Ministry of Health using the mobile network. Initially, we used wireless access points when we were using PDS, and the wireless access point that you see here was developed by AED, now FHI 360 satellite, to resolve that issue, the ability to interface PDS with the cellular network. But with the introduction of the smartphones and affordability of the smartphones, that became obsolete, so we started using smartphones instead of PDS interfaced with this African access point. That was the name. And access to clinical and public health information, a suite of information, thousands and thousands of pages of materials were preloaded into the devices for easy access. We call that a mobile health library. So the mobile health library consisted of clinical guidelines, some public health information for easy access at the point of care. In addition, we were disseminating three times a week, depending on the user needs. It could be on specific issues that they want. For example, at one point there was a large number of hydrocephalus cases in one of the districts, so they wanted information on that. So the initiative was able to send that information through the system. So these are some of the few examples of the data collection tools that were programmed for use in the mobile devices. These are HMIS forms. There are about 40 HMIS forms that were programmed into the mobile devices, constituting the entire data collection tool for HMIS in the country. There were also some non-HMIS forms for health facilities to help them track their performance at the health facility level and manage resources. I'm sure you know where Uganda is located. It's in East Africa, and we work in five districts, Rakai, Lantonde, and Mbale, Manafwa, and Bududa, in 174 health facilities from level 2 up to hospitals. Health center level 2 in Uganda is supposed to serve about 5,000 people and is located at the parish level, and it's the lowest health facility. It's staffed by a midwife and a nurse, theoretically, but more often than not, it's staffed by either midwife or a nurse. And they virtually provide all types of services. Level 3 is at sub-county, level 4 and hospitals are at district level. Those facilities serve about 1 million population, and over that 7 years, about 900 forms and PDS and netbooks were provided. In terms of the users, nearly half of the users were from health center level 2, which is the lowest tier of the health system, and 24% level 3 and so on. So the majority are at health center level 2 and level 3, which are much, much closer to the community. And when it comes in terms of need for information, this is where they need the most. The frequency of use of the devices, about 90% or 92% of the users said that they have been using the system at least once a week. This is for both the data collection as well as accessing information. Probably the information access part is more frequent than the data collection. Now I'm going to the outcomes. In terms of reporting compliance, in 2002, this is before the initiative was started, it was between 25% to 75% compliance rate. In 2006, which is 3 years after implementation, it rose to between 94% to 100%. And this was the national average. In 2002, before the project, it was about 60%, and in 2006, it was about 63% to 65%. That was the national average. This is according to the epidemiological bulletin that was gathered by the Ministry of Health. And of course, the district ascribes this success primarily for the initiative, even so there are some other factors that have played as well. Cost effectiveness assessment, we conducted two studies in collaboration with Makerere University, one in 2004 and the other in 2010. We used ingredients approach where we calculated the total cost of ownership from procurement up to disposal and then procuring new ones, replacing the old ones. We also calculated all the cost centers and compared between paper versus using the electronic system. And it shows about 24% to 25% cost saving per unit spending. And incidentally, we had a similar initiative in Mozambique, Mozambique Health Information Network, and we conducted cost effectiveness assessment in Mozambique, and it showed more or less similar result. In Mozambique, it was between 20 to 25% during the two studies that we have conducted. In terms of health outcomes, improving overall patient care, this is based on self-reporting, and this is related to the information access on the mobile devices, the clinical and public health information. 97% of the providers say that it improves patient care. I just want to mention one thing. We initially, when we designed the research, we had intervention in control districts. But we abandoned the control district issue because what happened was an election came, and that district, the control district that we chose, was very important politically, and it had an ambulance, and the health facilities were stocked with drugs fully, and the additional workforce was added into the existing, whereas the intervention districts, they lost 85 health workers because for lack of budget. It was not as important as the other district. They don't have ambulance. Almost most of the health facilities were out of drugs. So there was no basis of comparison, and that came when we started data collecting. So this is on based on self-reporting from the intervention districts. In terms of improving diagnosis, 87% reported that it provided them the ability to access health information at the point of care, enabled them to provide faster and accurate diagnosis. Choice of lab testers, 54% reported that it was useful in choosing appropriate testers, and 46%. This is interesting because it's nearly half-half. There was a qualitative part that followed, and the question was why. And the response was that, okay, we know that we can make this lab choice, but we don't have the reagents, we don't have the equipment, so what? So in terms of the health outcome, it didn't change much. So that was their response, which also I think makes sense. Better choice of drugs, 90% said that it was helpful. There were also other parameters like, avoiding adverse conditions or hospital stays and so on, which I did not include into this. But overall, it showed that the health outcomes were quite significant based on the reportings from the users. So on the lessons learned, number one, I think that is one of the key. Technology cannot fix a dysfunctional health management information system. It can improve timeliness, accuracy, and cost. But if the system is broken, there is no way that technology can fix it. As an example, in terms of making vital records in Uganda, the Ministry of Justice collect this data related to death, the debtors, and police does the same. When there is an accident and that person dies, they collect that data. Health facilities also collect that data. The Bureau of Statistics collects that data. And there is no agreement among those different parties to share that data. And if you introduce technology, I don't think it's going to fix it unless they agree on that. And the data must be useful for making budget allocations, for monitoring effectiveness, and so on. So if I am health is to roll out, I think the key, number one, is to really see whether the system is functional or dysfunctional, and it must be fixed before you roll out the mHealth system. And the initial costs are relatively higher. Cost savings are accrued over a very long term. And electric power is a big issue, even in areas where they are connected with the main grid. Whenever there is less rainfall, the dams don't fill up and they go into rationing. So solar power solution must be introduced. This adds into the cost, but it's something which must be included. Technical user support is really critical, especially the first year. I would say about the first 6 months, but up to 12 months is critical. And the involvement, I mean, the country leadership is critically important from the very beginning. It should not really depend on few champions at the Ministry of Health. It must be institutionalized. Selection of health information is important, and it should be based on continuous need survey. We were conducting need survey on content every 6 months, so that was important for disseminating the relevant information. Here the problem is to be able to find relevant local content is a big problem. We were working with the CME, with the Continuing Medical Education Coordination Office at the Ministry, but there were very, very limited content. But that was a big issue. And accreditation of the users who are receiving this content, it was coming as an issue for the health workers. They receive this information, and so what? I mean, does it take them? What's the impact in their career progression? Was an issue, and it's something which must be addressed. Thank you very much.